next presenter is Joshua Nazarewski,
yeah.
I think. All right. He will talk about Luxury Inn.
Thank you for coming. I also just want to thank really quickly my co-authors for this presentation, as well as my doctoral advisor, Professor Bill Dean. We're all at the Department of Plant Agriculture at the University of Guelph in Canada. So maize is a world staple crop. It's grown on every single inhabited continent, and it's the single largest recipient of nitrogen fertilizers applied to agricultural crops globally. But on average, only about half of the nitrogen used on maize is recovered in crop biomass the year it is applied. And this is a fact with profound economic and environmental implications, as I'm sure people in this audience are aware. And so improving nitrogen management, fertilizer management practices in maize is a key challenge for agriculture, and as crop physiologists, we can definitely contribute to meeting this challenge. So for my presentation, this is where the physiology comes into play. Several scientists have speculated that increasing the amount of nitrogen stored in the vegetative biomass of maize can help buffer kernel abortion and weight against nitrogen stresses experienced during grain filling. To put this in another way, if a maize plant is experiencing stress during grain filling, it would have been advantageous for that plant to have accumulated more nitrogen in its tissues during vegetative growth than otherwise. The logic is that the nitrogen in the vegetative tissues of maize provides a more stable source of nitrogen to meet grain nitrogen demand than nitrogen uptake from the soil. So maybe if you're wondering, okay, how can nitrogen stress occur on a farm field, but only during grain filling, that second half of the growing season, reproductive growth, but not during vegetative growth, does that often occur? The answer is yes, because of water deficits. Water stress and nitrogen stress often interact in the field. They're often co-limiting. Nitrogen arrives to the root surface via mass flow. Mass flow does not occur in drought conditions, and maize, especially during grain filling, if it is experiencing water stress, it's also experiencing some nitrogen limitations. So the research question I'm asking today is maize response to water or nitrogen stress experienced during reproductive growth, grain fill, conditioned on prior nitrogen uptake during vegetative growth? And by maize response, I really mean grain yield, photosynthesis, and the duration of green leaf area throughout the grain filling period. My working hypothesis is that yield will be maintained under post-silking nitrogen stress because that reservoir of vegetative end can be remobilized to the grain without impacting other physiological processes like photosynthesis or green leaf area. And this would not be true for plants that don't have that reservoir of nitrogen. So to answer this question, I conducted a greenhouse experiment at the University of Guelph. This was 3 months from emergence to maturity. The plants were grown in 5-gallon buckets filled with turface or calcined clay. This was controlled growing conditions, and they were fed a modified nutrient solution that only differed in the amount of nitrogen, total nitrogen concentration. So this was a nested experimental design. Each plant during vegetative growth was subject to one of two treatments. Water was non-limiting during vegetative growth, but half of the plants were put in a high nitrogen treatment, fed a nutrient solution with 20 micromolars total nitrogen, and the other half were placed in a low nitrogen treatment where the nutrient solution contained 6 micromolars of total nitrogen. Then at silking, so 5 days after the first appearance of silks, each plant was randomly put into a different treatment for the duration of reproductive growth or grain fill. Those treatments were water replete with high nitrogen, water replete with low nitrogen, or water deficit was imposed. And so instead of 85% plant available water, which was non-limiting water, 35% plant available water, that was the water deficit treatment. And so the other two treatments were water deficit with high nitrogen supply, water deficit with low nitrogen supply. And so that was 4 post-silking treatments nested within 2 pre-silking treatments, 6 blocks or 6 replicates, and one, this was a single variety study. Volumetric moisture content was monitored throughout the duration of the experiment. Using soil moisture sensors with a custom calibration for turface, simply because turface is not soil. Silking occurred between weeks 8 and weeks 9 after planting, and water deficit treatment was imposed after that. And you can see a clear difference in volumetric moisture content, and given the moisture characteristics of turface, this was a pretty steep decline in plant available water during grain fill. At silking, there was a destructive harvest for leaf area, biomass percent N, potential kernel number, or spikelet count, which I took as a proxy for potential sink size. Then, throughout grain fill, I took weekly or biweekly measurements of photosynthesis and green leaf area. And at maturity, there was also a final harvest. Now, as the title slide suggests, I did take 15 N measurements to quantify nitrogen remobilization to the grain. But unfortunately, those results are not available in time for this presentation. Okay, so at the onset of grain filling, what were the similarities and differences between the plants grown in the high nitrogen versus low nitrogen pre-silking treatment? So as expected, nitrogen content and concentration was significantly higher in the high nitrogen versus low nitrogen pre-silking treatment. Potential kernel number was also significantly higher. And this is just a photo of what that looked like at silking. Conversely, there was no significant differences between leaf area or total biomass between the high and low nitrogen pre-silking treatments. And, okay, so let's just fast forward to grain yield. This is grain yield in each of the four post-silking treatments nested within either the high or low nitrogen pre-silking treatment. What this data clearly shows is whenever stress was experienced during grain filling, either water stress, nitrogen stress, or both, yields were significantly and consistently higher in the plants grown in the high nitrogen pre-silking treatment compared to plants grown in the same post-silking treatment but subject to the low nitrogen pre-silking treatment. And I think this data just by itself supports or gives credence to that motivating hypothesis I presented earlier. And so these are just photos of what that looked like. So in terms of yield components, what drove this difference in yield? So here you have on the x-axis each of the four post-silking treatments. Nested within that is the high or low nitrogen pre-silking treatment. And in terms of kernel weight or kernel number, the difference, the driver in yield was kernel number per plant. It was not kernel weight. The high nitrogen pre-silking treatments had consistently and significantly higher kernel numbers. So what could mechanistically explain this difference? Photosynthesis during grain filling could not explain this difference, contrary to my initial expectations. I took photosynthesis measurements on three different dates throughout the grain filling period. I'm just showing one date because it's the same story each sampling time. And I'm showing pooled data from the mean of three different leaves, the ear leaf, two leaves above the ear leaf, and two leaves below the ear leaf. Again, it's the same story. While I did find significant differences in photosynthesis rates across my post-silking treatments, which is what I expected, that's not surprising, but within those post-silking treatments, between the high nitrogen and low nitrogen pre-silking treatment, no meaningful or significant differences. It's similar with green leaf area. I took green leaf area measurements throughout the grain filling. I'm just showing one date, the final sampling date, green leaf area at maturity, because it's the same story. There was no real difference in the trends of green leaf area across grain filling between the high nitrogen and low nitrogen pre-silking treatments, with the exception of the last two sampling dates, and I'm showing one of them, green leaf area at maturity. When nitrogen was limiting during grain filling, there was no significant differences. But when nitrogen was non-limiting, green leaf area at maturity was significantly higher in the low nitrogen pre-silking treatment compared to the high nitrogen pre-silking treatment. And this was contrary to what I expected. Okay, so how do I analyze these results? How do I explain them? For me, I have to remember how important source-sink relationships are in governing nitrogen metabolism during grain filling. So the plants grown in the high nitrogen pre-silking treatment not only had a higher nitrogen content, They had a larger potential sink. Potential kernel number was much higher. And it's known that sink strength influences greenleaf area and leaf nitrogen content at maturity. Basically, when sink size is reduced, there's less grain nitrogen demand, and hence less nitrogen remobilization from the leaves to the grain. And I think this explanation is supported especially by this greenleaf area at maturity data, but the 15N data that I've collected and that I'll receive soon would be able to confirm this explanation or not. Okay, so in conclusion, luxury nitrogen uptake at silking was observed, so there was no change in total biomass, but an increase in nitrogen uptake. And yields were consistently higher in those plants in the high nitrogen pre-silking treatment whenever stress was imposed post-silking. And I think, as I mentioned, this data lends credence to that motivating hypothesis I presented earlier. So to bring it full circle, what do these results, what are the implications for precision fertilizer management or nitrogen management in maize crops? I think it has implications for the techniques which take in-season point estimates of nitrogen sufficiency during vegetative growth. Okay, that's crop canopy level reflectance measurements or leaf greenness. This data suggests that there's limitations to these methods insofar as they're unable to really measure luxurious nitrogen uptake. These results, basically, what they show is that luxury nitrogen uptake is conditioned on the potential sink size, which is determined around silking, and also on whether or not nitrogen stress is experienced during grain filling, that second half of the growing season. So before I finish, I just want to thank the people who funded this research and the many people who helped me out with the research and with the ideas. So with that, I'd like to finish my presentation and thank you for your attention. The question was, what was the planting density in the greenhouse? I should have taken those measurements, and I can because it's easy to measure, but I should say that the lights were on for 16 hours a day, regardless of what the sun was like, and the light was so diffuse, it was hard to know if there were going to be interactions, and I should also mention that these plants were rotated every 7 to 10 days, and that was tough to do because it was basically a ton and a half of turface in all those pots. But they were rotated to make sure that there were no border effects. So that's the question is like about stay green. What's the benefits of stay green? Is it the fact that you can preserve photosynthesis into the growing season, or you know, would you rather that nitrogen be remobilized to the grain? There's a few studies that say stay green is not beneficial in some growing environments. I think it really depends on the size of the sink whether stay green is beneficial or not, and if remobilization will occur to satisfy grain nitrogen demand. Sorry, so not exactly. So you will find a yield reduction when there's post-silking stress during grain filling, but yield will still be higher if that plant accumulated more nitrogen during vegetative growth. And the plants that had that luxury nitrogen uptake at the onset of grain filling, yields were significantly higher compared to those plants in the same drought conditions or nitrogen stress conditions, but were grown pre-silking in that low nitrogen environment. So, yeah. So.
Stress you had, and you have some measure of that.
Sorry, so it was millimolar. I said the wrong thing. It was millimolar, it's not micromolars. And in terms of quantifying nitrogen stress, I didn't make these two levels up. I didn't choose them randomly. I did a pre-experiment, and obviously I asked around the department, like, what would be a good level of nitrogen to supply. And I think the yield data itself shows that nitrogen stress occurred because, like here, you just see there's a difference in yield between the low nitrogen pre-silking, low nitrogen pre-silking throughout the growing season, and the high nitrogen throughout the growing season. I think that shows that plant was limited by nitrogen. So.